So again, I also have no financial disclosures. So the objectives of today's presentation is to tell you some of the survivorship outcomes in our Asian American breast cancer survivor study, report some of the findings from this current research, and the implications for research and practice. So here's a little bit about the Asian population as a percentage of county population. So I know it's a little bit busy because it's not by state, but it's by county, so it kind of tells you where, you know, the most of the Asian populations are. And of course, you know, they're very strong in California, Hawaii, and a little bit on the East Coast as well. So I'm really going to focus on three Asian subgroups here, and it was because of our sample size, of course. So we're going to focus on Chinese Americans, Filipino Americans, and Korean Americans, even though the study did include also some Japanese and some Vietnamese Americans as well. So of course, here's showing you some of the population from the U.S. 2010 census. So the largest sub-Asian group here are Chinese Americans, and there's over 4 million in the United States. The second largest group are Filipino Americans with over 3.4 million. And the fifth largest group is Korean Americans with over 1.7 million. So, and it also shows you the majority of these populations are actually foreign-born. 76% of Chinese Americans are foreign-born, and Korean Americans are actually almost 79% of them are foreign-born. And it also shows you the median income. The majority of them also do receive a bachelor's degree. And then when it comes to Chinese and Korean Americans, a large percentage of them have English limitations. And in these subgroups, when it comes to Korean Americans, they tend to have the highest uninsured rates. So Asian Americans tend to be seen as the exemplary immigrants with stable communities. You know, they usually are small business owners, they go to school, and they're actually seen as homogenous rather than diverse and heterogeneous groups, when in reality they are heterogeneous groups. We can't, most of the studies tend to lump Asian and Asian and Pacific Islanders together in one group, when that makes it one of the largest diverse groups, even larger than Latino subgroups. So we do know that Asian Americans do share a lot of common values, and one of them is the needs of the collective, and it's usually the family over that of the individual, and the promotion of harmonious interpersonal relationships. But unfortunately, even though they do have those common values, they do differ in socioeconomic status. They differ, of course, in language, behavior, attitudes, and culture among these sub-ethnic groups. So breast cancer is the most common cancer among most Asian women, and it's actually one of the leading causes of cancer death in a lot of the Asian subgroups. And, you know, as a general group, that's the statement, but we do know that, for example, in Japanese women is one of the leading causes of cancer death. But unfortunately, there's not enough studies. There's not enough epidemiological studies or survivorship outcomes that focus on the ethnic subgroups. So there was a study that compared the incidence and mortality of breast cancer survivors by ethnic subgroups. It looked at the California Cancer Registry because the California Cancer Registry is one of the few that does collect information on subgroups. And so it looked at the incidence of mortality between 2000 and 2002. And here we compared it, of course, to non-Hispanic white. And we also compared it to what is usually seen as the total Asian Pacific Islander group. And so when we look at the total Asian and Pacific Islander, we do notice that that incidence can actually mask some important differences when we look at subgroups. For example, if you look at Filipino and Japanese, their incidence is a lot higher than the Asian and Pacific Islander incidence rate. So if we just look at the Asian and Pacific Islander, it's going to mask those actual effects. And same thing if we look at mortality. You do have some of those groups, again, Filipino and Japanese, who tend to have higher mortality rates. And here are the survival rates, and this is by ethnicity as well, comparing it to non-Hispanic, white, black, and Hispanic. If we were just to look at the Asian group, that's also going to mask some of the survival rates. If we notice that some of the survival rates, again, are lower with Filipino and Korean women. So some of the studies that we've done before, most of our studies do focus on breast and cervical cancer survivors, and we do focus on African-American women, Latinas, and Asian-Americans. The study, we did want to take a look at the subgroups to see what the differences were between the ethnic subgroups. So we did notice when we did our largest studies that Asian-Americans did indicate a significant concern in the family and psychosocial aspects, and of course work-related and financial burden. And some of the other studies that we've done, we have noticed that Korean Americans did express a lower health-related quality of life and greater physiological distress than most other Asian subgroups. When it comes to Korean Americans, acculturation influenced their health-related quality of life. And one of the things that we've hypothesized is because a lot of Korean Americans are actually first-time immigrants with no family members here. And so less acculturation sometimes leads to more isolation. And so, as I mentioned, there are fewer studies that exist documenting these differences in sub-ethnic groups, specifically in health-related quality of life of Asian American breast cancer survivors. So these were our study methods. As we wanted to measure the health-related quality of life of the Asian American breast cancer survivors by a sub-ethnic group. It was a repeated measures design, and it was a culturally responsive model. So, participants had to have, were 6 months to 5 years post breast cancer diagnosis, stage 0 to 3, and cannot have been diagnosed with any other type of cancer except for skin cancer. So we did have a sample size of 200, with the majority being Chinese and Filipina and Korean. So for some of these results, we did leave out Japanese and Vietnamese because of the small sample size. And then we did do a one-year follow-up to see if there were any differences in survivorship and in how they evaluated their outcomes, maybe based on temporal reasons. There was actually no intervention, so it was just, you know, we had a little bit of money left. We had some time in, so we wanted to see a year later if there were any differences. So what we used for recruitment was the City of Hope Cancer Registry, and most of the time what we did use were our community partners to help us recruit women, a lot of faith-based organizations, a lot of community clinics, and support groups. So we did use the standardized FACG as our measurement. So these are some examples of some of our flyers. One is in Chinese and one is in Korean. And luckily, our department is very diverse. So we do have somebody who translates into Chinese, somebody who translates into Korean. We have somebody to translate into Tagalog. We did struggle a little bit with the Vietnamese. We did have an intern who did speak Vietnamese and then Japanese, and so that could have also contributed to the fact that we didn't have as many women participate from those ethnic subgroups. So here you have the baseline demographic characteristics. So if you notice, Korean and Filipino Americans, Japanese and Vietnamese Americans, they kind of had a small sample size, so we're not going to have as many statistics on them on the post. But Vietnamese tend to report the lowest educational attainment, whereas Vietnamese, Korean, and Chinese reported having a lower household income, and Filipina and Japanese women tend to report higher incomes. And then Korean and Vietnamese women also were more likely to report being homemakers than the other ethnic subgroups. And Korean, Chinese, and Vietnamese women were more likely to speak in their language, whereas Japanese women were more likely to speak English. So here are some of the basic medical characteristics within the Asian subgroups. So in terms of medical characteristics, we tried to examine the group differences for comorbidities across the ethnic groups. And again, here we left off some of the groups because they were smaller sample size. So for comorbidities after cancer, Filipinas reported the most comorbidities, and Koreans reported the least. So those are highlighted there, as well as the Vietnamese women. They actually reported more comorbidities. So now with the general health-related quality of life outcomes across the subgroups, so here you see our baseline and our follow-up. And so these were done with paired T-tests, but As you know, the FACT was used to measure the health-related quality of life, and that included the subdomain. So we're going to go into the physical, the social, family, emotional, and functional well-being parts of the FACT G. So if any of you are familiar with it, a higher score actually indicates a better outcome. So 100 is the best score. So overall, most of these actually showed good to excellent quality of life, most of the groups. So over a one-year period, none of them saw an increase in health-related quality of life, at least not statistically significant. And Korean Americans actually did show 4.5 point decrease in health-related quality of life. And so, but overall, Korean Americans reported the least favorable health-related quality of life. So again, with physical well-being across the subgroups, there was no statistical differences that were observed within the subgroups, but we do see a slight improvement in physical well-being as measured by the FACT among Chinese women, and Filipino Americans remained unchanged. And again, once again, Korean Americans reported the poorest outcomes. Here's where we do see some differences in the social and family outcomes across the subgroups. And these, we did see statistically significant decreases here, specifically with Chinese and Korean Americans reported decreases over time. Filipino Americans also reported a slight decrease, but these were not statistically significant. Now, these are, of course, patient evaluation of their outcomes, so this is what the patients themselves thought of. This isn't a clinical evaluation. They measured it themselves. But just because it wasn't statistically significant, it doesn't necessarily mean it also wasn't clinically significant, because the authors of the scale do say that a 2 to 3 point change is considered clinically significant for the subscales, and for the general scale, a 5 point difference would be considered clinically significant. So some of these, especially this Chinese, could have been considered clinically significant, but not statistically significant, when we do know that it's the clinical significance that has an impact in the way we care for the patient. We don't exactly use the statistic to say, okay, this patient needs help in this area. So again, with emotional outcomes across the subgroups, there wasn't any statistical significant changes, and it kind of remained unchanged for the subgroups over time. With functional outcomes, again, no statistical significance were found, but and it tends to remain unchanged over time. And so this isn't a definitive study. You know, we do need more studies to determine specifically what is contributing to the social and family changes, even though we don't see any functional, emotional, physical changes. Okay. So we need to identify factors that promote and reduce the health-related quality of life among diverse Asian survivors, because we do know that the different sub-ethnic groups have different needs. So that means that we need to develop culturally appropriate interventions to improve the health-related quality of life. These interventions need to address social support and family concerns. We do hypothesize that perhaps, if you notice, all the groups did see a decrease in that outcome, and it could be because the longer they are away from the breast cancer diagnosis, the less the family feels that they need any help. They might expect, you know, most of these women are moms, and so they expect, okay, you're fine, you've done with your treatment, let's go back to normal. And so now they have to, even though they do still have some burden, and some cancer burden, some post-treatment burden, some of the side effects, they are expected to perhaps return to their what's considered normal mother, you know, lifestyle or role that they were playing, and so now they have less social support and less family support than they did maybe while they were going through treatment and through care. So we also need to create interventions that target this post-treatment phase and the long-term survivorship. You know, a lot of the women do complain that, you know, through treatment it's wonderful, someone's holding their hand, and the minute everything is done, that hand goes away and they're left with nothing. And this is the time where they actually feel that they need the most support because they have no guidance. So I know one of the things that we're working on is a culturally appropriate survivorship care plan that actually works with the patient and the doctor, and it's actually held by the patient. So we're working on that, and our first pilot study is actually targeting African-American women, but we are going to move on to the other ethnic groups, including Latinas and Asian-Americans. We also need to include men in these studies as survivors and as supporters. One of our studies is looking at the family members and the caregivers to see what their needs are as well. And we need to assess the distress and the family quality of life. We do tend to focus a lot on the patient quality of life with this, which is also very important, but that patient quality of life can also be very impacted by the family's quality of life. So we need more studies focusing on those. So I'm just going to, this is a picture, we call this Faces of Breast Cancer. We do hold an annual Chinese Hope Conference, which is for our Chinese breast cancer survivors, and it's through a partnership that we have with the Held Christian Center, which is a Chinese-focused clinic and support center. And so we do put on this every year, and the women are always really grateful, and so we have different topics, and it is conducted in Chinese, and so they really enjoy that. And this is this is the director of that Herald Cancer Association. She's actually a three-time breast cancer survivor. And she says that this is a statement that she's made, that cancer is a fearful journey, and that survivors need navigational and supportive care during and especially following treatment. So, that's it.